Well, welcome back to the Tata Report. It is CIUT 89.5 FM. I remind you, we are on SoundCloud and on Facebook. And please check us out. We've done some programs we're very proud of. They're available there on Facebook. And I have to say, we had a very good response to our interview with Stacy Wimana from last week. I would urge people to listen to that interview because, again, it's going to have, it's going to be remembered, the struggle around the rights of Felicia Ann Kabuga, who is a target of the Kagame government. As I said, it's a Tata Report. I want to mention, and Phil, I don't know if you saw this, but you raised the issue of the media, and you know, let's frankly, it's the capitalist media. It is media owned by monopolies. So why are we surprised that they lie to us day in and day out, or totally misrepresent stories? It's unfortunate situation where people must rely on them, and they do it out of fear, by the way. We've talked about this. If you want to become a courageous person, you don't have to adopt a radical ideology or outlook. All you have to do is have the courage to want to know about the world and to exercise your right, your freedom to investigate on your own, come to your own opinions. For example, if you were to sample regularly Cuban, Russian, Venezuelan, Nicaraguan, South African, Iranian media, when they are in the news, you would benefit. You would be doing better or almost as well as listening to the Tata Report. But people do not do that. And that's because they are self-censoring. People understand, ordinary person understands, that if you actually pay attention to those voices from countries that you can tell are on the designated dislike list of your government, then you could be in hot water. The government tells you and everybody says, oh, we're free, etc. But you're made to understand that, you know, maybe that wouldn't be such a good idea that you were to go and gather the facts for yourself, or that you regularly checked out people who know what they're talking about. And if you follow Gray Zone and Jimmy Dore and others, you'll notice there's a lot of heavy censorship coming down on people who independently report. A lot of jostling and people being arrested and harassed and all that. Anyway, it brings me to the matter of the Olympics, the latest of the lie that really gets me. The Canadian Olympic Committee had the following item in the Toronto Star, March the 12th. The COC prefers Canadian vaccines, which is a funny word, a term. The Canadian Olympic Committee says its strong preference is for athletes competing in the Tokyo Games this summer to receive COVID-19 vaccine approved by Health Canada. David Schumacher, CEO of the COC, delivered his thoughts after the International Olympic Committee in China announced a partnership in which the Chinese Olympic Committee will buy and provide vaccines for people taking part in the upcoming Tokyo and Beijing Games. None of the Chinese vaccines are approved for use in Canada. Well, yeah, well, let's go to ignore you clowns for a moment. You know that the president of the International Olympic Committee, it's mentioned, not in this story in the Star, but Friday's Globe did a more detailed account. They also took the same line that the Star did. Oh, there's something alarming. China is providing vaccines for athletes, and the Canadian athletes strongly prefer, which is frankly just a way of saying white privilege, They don't trust Asian medicine. It is a strong odor of bigotry in all this. In the Globe story, they went further than this item, and they said that the president of the International Olympic Committee praised China for its solidarity with athletes of the world and for really showing the Olympic spirit. Because the Olympic spirit is, you know, let us find out who the, let's put all the athletes together and have a fair contest. And we just, and humanity wants to see the champions. And it's the Olympic spirit. They come together as friends and competitors. And it's really an example of what you might call multilateralism. But the fly in the ointment, of course, for them, these reporters, is that they have to say, well, you know, we don't trust Chinese medicine. And we don't like China and Japan agreeing to do this. And the Olympic spirit part, the Olympic spirit that they was pointing to is that many athletes come from countries that don't have the resources to acquire the COVID-19 vaccine. And China is providing for those countries. And I have a headline that goes with this story. The US will not release stored AstraZeneca shots to other countries. White House. That's the day after the other story. This is March 13th. So they're not gonna, listen, they're not sharing nothing. China is sharing. That's bad, bad, bad. And the Globe put the quote from the IOC man in the story, but not in the headline, because actually the IOC man got the story right. China is acting in solidarity with other peoples of the world, particularly developing countries that do not have the resources to do this themselves. Those countries, by the way, would be what we call the South countries. Those are countries in the racial terms of the Western colonialism, or those are the brown countries, and brings us to another problem for Canada, the parliament, Trudeau, Biden. The countries of the world do not agree with this dirty criminal campaign against China. They don't agree. And the Human Rights Committee of the United Nations has had its meetings, and there have been full reports, and there have been votes taken. And Canada, you lost. United States, you lost. You got beaten. You got shown up. You got trumped by the African countries who appreciate China as a fellow developing country, not only a fellow developing country, one that shares with them. Who put China in the United Nations? When the vote was taken, it was pushed and fought for and voted on and carried by the African countries. And so what does the Canadian Parliament say? We're going to insult, we're going to smear this country that has the support of the of this developing world. It is high in their estimation because it actually comes across in support and solidarity. So this little Olympic story to me is a very telling one. And Phil, I know you know something about this. You've been following this matter of how come the U.S. doesn't want to share even with Canada? I mean, Canada should
have. Well, I think there's an expression people use.
Before you mention that, I mean, Canada does regard itself as very white when it comes to this kind of thing. I mean, we're a member of the Five Eyes. And if, to be a member of the Five Eyes, you have to be an English-speaking, Anglo-Saxon, former or present colonial power, and you have to be Protestant. And it is an intelligence network. And yes, it surveys the world. And yes, it is the secret police of five countries. What else is it? It's a spy group. China's a member. And damn it, the boss won't even give them the damn vaccine.
No, it isn't good enough. You see, I mean, yes, Canada's all those things, but too bad. So, but the expression that I like is dog in the manger. That is to say, the dog has no use for whatever it is it's guarding, but won't let you have it, right? So in this case, this American company has manufactured all these vaccines. They're ready to be administered. There's 20 million doses. They're sitting in a warehouse in Cincinnati, a town dear to my heart, just a four-hour drive from the Canadian border. However, the particular vaccine has not been approved by the regulatory authorities in the United States because they're doing their due diligence and stuff like that. And Canada has approved this vaccine and it's administering it when it can get its hands on it, right? And so they said to the Americans, why don't you just let us have those? We have a contract with these people to sell us. And the Americans said, no, we said that not a dose will leave the United States until every American's been vaccinated, which is, of course, will be never. Right. So too bad for you. Right. I mean, Trump said it. Right. But now Biden's saying it. Right. So for those who thought that Biden was the lesser of two evils, wrong. You know.
Yes. Well, he at least got back to bombing Syria, but everybody thought that they were going to give that up. By the way, apropos of your remarks, Phil, here is from the Globe Saturday, March 13. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau would not say Friday whether he had asked the White House to let Ottawa import the shots. Quotes, I love, this is a Canadian quote. This should go down and put it on a bronze, bury it for history. Over the past number of months, we've had lots of great engagements with the American administration on COVID-19, he told a press conference. Hey, now we're getting somewhere.
Great engagements. Over the
past months. That's in response to a specific question. Did you talk to him about this?
He had a great engagement.
We've had some great engagements.
A great engagement.
And then it says, if we have a surplus, we'll share it. That's, of course, American position. Even if AstraZeneca fulfills its contracts with Canada, however, this will not see all 20 million shots delivered until the fall. Meanwhile, Ottawa could use the idle shots sitting in Ohio right now. According to calculations by a team at the University of Oxford, fewer than 2% of Canadians are currently vaccinated against COVID-19 compared with more than 10% of Americans. I think that's the usual data that goes with this kind of malarkey. It is a striking story. And you can see why the people who misgovern here are so anxious to talk about absolutely the silliest and most absurd things, like deciding they're going to get excited about the Uyghur situation, or they're going to butt into Hong Kong. I remind our listeners, this is the Taylor Report, and we've said it over and over. The game is called balkanization. That's an old term for empires used for controlling regions, and they would like to balkanize the People's Republic of China. And so they are now talking about Taiwan, Hong Kong, the autonomous region of China, of Uyghur region. Incidentally, Uyghur is on the national currency of China, the Uyghur language. I know the Globe has a reporter, Vanderclip, who works his little tail off smearing China 3 or 4 times a week, never mentions to his readers that there's a heavy metal band in Beijing that is Uyghur, and they have a very popular song, My Uyghur. There are also Uyghur rappers. There is also a TV show. Of course, this is in the Uyghur Autonomous Region, in Uyghur language, The Dating Game, which most people here apparently know something about. If it's true that these phenomena exist, then there can't be a genocide. This is malarkey. I mean, we the word genocide really exploded into our consciousness because genocide was carried out by Nazi Germany, horrendously, by Nazi Germany. And there weren't any Jewish rock stars in Berlin when that was going on. The Jews were attacked. They had their rights taken away. They were not permitted to work in professions. They were not permitted to own property. Everything was taken. And eventually it led to the ghastly result of mass murder, genocide. And to talk about China in any way in relation to that is really obscene and an insult to the memory of the genocide that did take place. And the people who reference it, and Dallaire, by the way, referenced it, it's just outrageous. And the claim would be that the person knows what he's talking about. That individual who would talk like that means to me they have not the faintest idea what they're talking about when they invoke the word genocide. And that raises yet another matter which I think we want to call attention to. Dan Cohen, you can find Dan Cohen. Dan Cohen does very good commentary. I found this at Gray Zone. There's been an article written, a very good article at Gray Zone, and I'm repeating, I think our listeners will know we referenced it before. And that is that the go-to man, and when I say go-to expert, I'm quoting Vandercliff of the Globe and Mail, who said Zenz is the go-to man expert on the Uyghurs, which is absurd. The idea that we could be talking as though we're rational people examining evidence and there's only one go-to man and he's a Christian evangelical a reactionary German, which is just one of those little things with an echo in it. At any rate, and this is the only person that any of us are supposed to reference. And I bring your attention to the following. Dan Cohen points it out. Adrian Zenz, I'm reading Dan Cohen, the primary source of Western media reports on Uyghur, quotes, concentration camps, is a German anti-Semite who believes Jews that refuse to convert to Christianity will be wiped out and put into a fiery furnace. And he provides the quote itself from the book. And this is a book co-authored by Adrian Zenz. For Jews, therefore, the wrath of God, who proved to be both a blessing and a curse for those who belong to the one third that will be refined in God's fiery furnace and will end up obtaining salvation, ultimately, it will be a blessing for those who are rebels and transgressors. He cites Ezekiel 20:38, and who will perish in the process, a curse. According to scripture, God's refining process will wipe out all unbelieving Jews who refuse to come to Christ and leave only born-again Israelites to enter heaven. Listen, I want to know. I thought we had people in Canada who wanted to fight anti-Semitism, or who understood that someone who would write that probably has some, you might say, has academic credentials issues. And we need to be protected. Where are the people who want to protect us against that kind of bigotry? He sat down in front of the Canadian Parliament's committee and they all listened to him like he was the sage, like he was a master, which is terrible. So this has been the Taylor Report, and I'm glad we finished on a heavy note. This is Taylor Report, CIUT. We'll see you next week.